I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And your San Antonio Spurs are off to a phenomenal start to start the season. Quick disclaimer, we are talking to you before yesterday's game versus the Magic. So we're going to be using the sample size of a four-game win streak as opposed to maybe five by the time we're listening to the show. Hopefully so. That'd be really bad if San Antonio lost the game to the Orlando Magic in San Antonio. But pretty much heading into this episode of Locked On Spurs, Spurs stand at 6-2 on the season. Yeah, that's right, 6-2, only two losses, and have been looking good. They're rolling right now. Four games straight, all W's, gutted out some good wins versus Dallas, showed their mettle. But is it really that big of a deal? Should you, Spurs fans, be looking at this now 6-2 record and be saying, yay, championship, here we come? Or should we take a pause a little bit and say, you know what? Yeah, it's good, but, you know, the jury is still out. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Is this fool's gold? Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast, he is back to help me discuss this topic. Joe, welcome back to Locked On Spurs.
Oh, thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure, Jeff.
Hey, Joe. So, they got a good win over the Anthony Davis-led Pelicans. Because remember, Davis was kind of like a game-time decision in the plane. Spurs did a good job on him defensively. 17 points held him to 38%, 35% shooting. So he really was a non-factor. Then you go back a little bit, you know, they gutted out wins versus Dallas. They got themselves another close win versus the Lakers. And they're picking up wins. And that's good. But, Joe, before we dive into any numbers or stats that you want to point out, your general thoughts on this winning streak.
This winning streak is quite a conundrum, if you want to say it like that. Use that analogy, because coming in before the season even started, almost everybody in the local media, in the national media, were saying that with all the new acquisitions, they expected the Spurs to get off to a very slow start. They were looking towards the months of November, December for the Spurs to kind of resemble a team that they once were in years past, you know, minus the Kawhi incident from last season that kind of threw a chink in things. But for them to come out and right out of the gate look like they, you know, like a Spurs team, that, you know, they were having some issues with the defense, but now things are kind of, you know, they're kind of starting to come together, and it's a very surprising turn of events, if you want to say that, because no one picked this team to be 6-2 with a 0.750 winning percentage and beating some, you know, very hyped up teams and the Lakers, beating, you know, a team that they couldn't beat notoriously in last season, and the Pelicans with Anthony Davis on there. To me, this Pelicans game was very telling of where the Spurs are at right now, because it shows that when they want to, they can put on a great defensive performance, which is what they did against the Pelicans. But the Spurs have won these games based on their offense, offensive production. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Jeff. I mean, I'm going to ride the ship, you know, and I'm going to just keep on, you know, supporting the team. But to start 6-2, you know, right out the gate, it's very surprising, man. I mean, I don't think anybody would have predicted this.
No, I don't think so either. I think there have been you know, sports critics out there saying, well, the Spurs are going to stumble, they're, you know, they're going to be at the bottom of the barrel to start the season. So many new pieces, so many older pieces left the door, you know, this team is going to be circling the drain. And no, they're looking pretty good right now, and not too bad for a team that had a roster overhaul in the off season. But, you know, coming back to the topic, you know, what do we take? You know, is this fool's gold? Should everybody be thinking military drive is going to be packed with cars honking the horn at the end of the season? No, I think it's way too early still. This team is still a work in progress. And here's the thing too, Joe, is strength of schedule. Let's go and dive into this already. The Spurs, let's face it, they beat a Lakers team that, yes, they have LeBron James, but, you know, they're still trying to find their way. And the Spurs just did that bit more to get the W's versus LA. You look at Dallas, Historically, Dallas has always given the Spurs fits. But again, Dallas doesn't scream Warriors or Thunder or Boston or Toronto. Then you look at the Pelicans. You know, the Pelicans, I thought, would be the first true test for San Antonio. And they passed the flying colors. You know, and I think they got it done defensively. And I think their defense has really been rising to the occasion in this winning streak. Joe, you mentioned about the offense that you've been liking in this winning streak. What about it? What do you see in that offense that's really putting a smile on your face?
Really, one of there's two stats that really stand out at me when you look at this team and see what they've actually been able to do. And one of those stats is free throw percentage. You know, what they've been able to do at the stripe, because that makes the game a lot easier for you. I mean, last season, the Spurs were an okay free throw shooting team, but they were still about, you know, maybe about 60%, 50%, somewhere around that neighborhood, I believe, last season. This season, they've actually upped their game a little bit. I mean, if I look at the free throw shooting percentage, I think the Spurs were hovering right about 50%, somewhere around there. They kind of moved up a little bit. They're at, I think right now, let's see what, I believe they're at like 58, 59% free throw shooting percentage for the season, which is pretty good, you know, for a Spurs team. And which means that, like I said, they're making some easy buckets from the stripe when they get to the foul line. And not only that, but their turnover percentage or the amount of turnovers they've had has been very low. I remember seeing the Spurs as far as the turnover that they had last season. And it was somewhere in like 18. They were averaging 18, 19, you know. And now, I mean, in yesterday's game against the Pelicans, they only had 9. And that's been the normal for the Spurs starting this season. Their turnovers have been very low, which means they take very good care of the ball. They're shooting great at the free throw line. And that helps at the end of the day with – you being able to sustain a lead if you get one, you know, and it makes the game easier for you, you know. And not only that, but in the beginning of the season, Jeff, we saw that they weren't able to come back from being down by double digits like they were against the Portland Trailblazers, you know. And then they went down by double digits against the Lakers, and they managed to climb back in, and that's attributed to their free throw shooting. They climbed back in because they played good defense, they were aggressive, and they hit their free throws.
Yeah.
So those two stats right there show me that this team might have something special. I'm not ready to say, oh, the Spurs are going to go and they're going to win, you know, like 70 games this season. No, let's be realistic. But the way that they have this balance going for them, I think they have a really good chance of, you know, making some noise this season.
Yeah, they definitely are. This is their start to the season with practically a brand new team and a brand new all-star player to pair with another all-star player, LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, right now it's looking really good for San Antonio. But, Joe, you mentioned about turnovers. One thing that really stood out for me in the win over New Orleans was San Antonio had one turnover after the first half, Joe. One turnover.
Yeah.
That was it. That's awesome. That means they're valuing the ball, they're valuing possessions, and that tells me right there that they're making smart plays, they're making smart passes. They're starting to see, you know, where their teammate likes their spots. You know, they can pass with confidence. So, you know, I look at that and I'm thinking, okay, well, that's good. This is great. That's a good sign. You also like this too. There's parity on the offensive end. It's now common, Joe, to see a stat sheet and to see 4+ Spurs players in double figure scoring. Now, yes, that is the today's NBA, and yes, the new rule changes may have allowed for that, but to me that just says they're not just relying on LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan, that they're getting contributions from everybody else. Marco Bellinelli, Rudy Gay, yesterday or the other night's game versus New Orleans, you had Dante Cunningham, 15 points in a starting role and being a defensive lockdown guy. Joe, balance. Have you liked this Spurs balance that we've seen after just a few games to start the season?
Yeah, and that's been another thing that I think Spurs fans have taken notice of as well. Not just, you know, me and you, but everybody else here in San Antonio. Because, again, going back to last season, you didn't have this balance on the offensive end. You only had, you know, double digits coming out consistently from, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, who was scoring like 28 points a night, mm-hmm. almost going for 30 points a night, and going up there and getting, you know, double digits as far as, you know, crashing the boards to just give this team a chance. Now, with the acquisition of DeMar DeRozan and some of the other players that the Spurs have picked up in the offseason, now you're seeing this offensive balance to this team. And like you said, that's great because it shows that everybody out there is being productive. They're making shots. They're helping out. And like we always say, we had this saying, right, Jeff, where we say, all hands on deck. You know, mm-hmm. we need everybody to score. You can't ask for anything else. Everybody that plays almost always puts up some points. Even if it's 2 points, at least they're contributing. And that says a lot about this team and its character right now.
Yeah, and then you cannot, you know, highlight this enough. You have a guy like Dante Cunningham who probably didn't come into his new season in with a new team, San Antonio, thinking he's going to get the starting position just games into the new season. And here he is. You know, he's elevating his game. Pau Gasol, I know there's a lot of naysayers among Spurs fans that don't like him. They want him out. But he's been okay. He's been kind of a steady rock. You know, maybe his errors get highlighted because he's not – on the fans' best side right now, but a lot of players do horrible mistakes on the court. But in the win over New Orleans, you saw him block shots, you saw him hustling down the court, you saw him scoring the basket. My point is that everybody is coming together, everybody is looking like they're on the same page, despite the fact that the Spurs are gonna, you know, shoot that down when they're asked by reporters. They'll say, no, we're still a work in progress. But if this is their work in progress, Joe, I'll take it every day, Joe.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I want to say about Pau Gasol, I think he's been so productive this season because it looks like Pop is really managing his minutes. Mm-hmm. The amount of minutes that he played in the game against the Pelicans, he only played 13.12 minutes. In that time, you know, he had 2 points. But I think the reason that we've seen this resurgence of the play of Pau Gasol, it seems like Popovich is really making an effort to manage his minutes, which I thought that was going to be one of the keys for the Spurs to get the most out of Pau Gasol this season, is if they were to go ahead and tell him, look, we're only going to play you maybe 13, 15 minutes a game. And if we can keep you around that, we think you're going to be more productive because mm-hmm. he's going to be able to do a lot more instead of trying to save himself by expending so much energy out there. And let's face it, he's not getting any younger, yeah. But I think the Spurs have kind of found that, you know, that little mix that's going to help everyone, including Paul, be a better player. And yep. And if you look to see who's really playing the core of the minutes out there at any given game, it's going to be the starting five. You know, they're playing 37 minutes, 39 minutes, 38 minutes, 23 minutes in Bryn Forbes. Rudy Gay only played 19 minutes because he went down with an injury. But other than that, I mean, Rudy Gay's been putting in some good minutes as well. So You have the starters putting in the minutes to kind of even out that balance. Yes, they're playing the majority of the game, which I think when the bench comes in, that also makes the bench more effective because they're able to manage those minutes so well. And they come out and really give you everything they have, which means that they're playing really hard-nosed basketball out there on the court. And we're seeing that translate into this very balanced scoring effort almost every single night.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to take our first break. When we get back, I'm going to have to just rain on this parade. So we'll be right back. Okay, we are back, and I am joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, before the break, we were giving the Spurs props. We were recognizing their efforts. We were saluting them, and you brought up a few numbers here and there. But, you know, I look at this winning streak that the team is on right now, and I'm kind of taking it with a grain of salt, and I'll tell you why. I mentioned a couple teams in the winning streak, you know, the Lakers and the Mavericks. Okay, fine, you know, they got W's, and this all should matter. But you go against a Suns team that did not have Devin Booker, and let's face it, it's probably going to be the worst teams in the league. You know, I mean, they should win that game. And then, of course, the Pelicans, they just got Anthony Davis back, and, you know, yes, they did a good job, but still, the Pelicans are not in my opinion, not there yet to be that quality NBA team. My point is, they haven't beat anybody quality in my, you know, in this winning streak. I know we're recording before the Magic game, but if they beat the Magic, and hopefully they did, You know, that's another team that they should beat. Joe, what do you think about strength of schedule? Does that factor into your opinion on this Spurs winning streak?
It does and it doesn't. Because if you look at the teams that they've played to start the season, as you stated, you know, some of these teams have not been very good. But the teams that they did play that had some merit, you know, that looked like they're going to be making some noise in the postseason, in the Portland Trailblazers, in the Indiana Pacers, both of these teams had one thing in common. They had guards who can flat out play the game, you know. And not only that, but the Indiana Pacers were able to beat the Spurs because they just swarmed them and they just jumped them from the get-go. You know, they were everywhere on the offensive end and the defensive end for the San Antonio Spurs, so it kept them out of rhythm. But in the games that the Spurs have won, we've seen that they've been, you know, having this resurgence on the offensive end. And in some cases, you know, you can see them playing really good defense, you know, for stretches. Not for the entire game, but for stretches, which helped them win some of these close games, particularly against the Lakers. You know, when they had an overtime win against the Lakers. And then they had a really close game that they won here at the AT&T Center against the Lakers. So which means to me is that, yes, their schedule has been a little on the soft side, if you want to say that.
No, but, just say it. It is soft. It's a little soft right now.
Yeah. It's been you know, soft for them to start the season off. Now, as the season is going to start unfolding and they're going to get deeper into it, they're going to start, you know, facing some teams that have really good, you know, a really good offense. And not only that, but they got some players that can play some defense. You're going to be going up against a Warriors team. You're going to have the Clippers. You're going to have a Rockets team, you know, that they're going to be facing all in the month of November. And not only that, but you're going to face the Pelicans again. And you're also going to look at almost at finishing the month off with the Grizzlies, the Pacers, the Bucks. You know, I mean, that those three teams right there, they're no slouches. And we're going to see what the Spurs are really made of.
Well, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, the schedule is going to balance out and there'll be some heavy-duty hitters coming into San Antonio or the Spurs visiting these power teams very soon. And we'll see if this Spurs team has what it takes. Now, look, every win's a win. It's all that matters in the end. It doesn't matter who they beat. It's still a W. And I get that. I just don't want any false hope. It is early in the season. It is a very soft part of their schedule. And, you know, I really thought the New Orleans game was going to be a kind of a test, but it kind of wasn't. And again, but you brought up a really interesting point, though, about the guards. Pacers, you know, Oladipo, the Blazers, McCollum and Lillard. You know, those are really good guards in the league. And the Spurs really haven't paid that, or at least played that in this winning streak. You know, Rondo, you know, he's a really good point guard, and Lonzo Ball, you know, always seems to bust the Spurs, you know what, but nevertheless, not at that echelon. The Mavericks don't have top quality guards. Booker was out versus San Antonio. He didn't play. Pelicans don't really boast any type of perimeter or at least backcourt players. So yeah, the Spurs will be tested soon. You know, as soon as, you know, the 10th of this month when the Rockets come into town. But yeah, it's, and I'm going to rain in the parade, but I'm glad that they're picking up W's now. So maybe they can absorb some of those blows that they could possibly take later down the road. But if they come out and beat a Rockets team that's coming up soon, and dare I say a Kings team, yes, the Kings are hot right now. If you go look at their schedule, their standing and their winning streak, they're playing very good ball. And you got the Clippers and the Warriors. Yeah, then we'll exactly see where the Spurs team stands. Joe, let's go and dive into a few numbers now. We talked about the defense earlier in the show. I'm going to bring it up again. During this win streak, again, prior to the Magic game, the Spurs are holding teams to 99.8 points per game and are forcing them to cough off the ball 17 times per game. Joe, I thought the Spurs was to be this team that lost so much defense, Joe.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things. It's a head scratcher. You know, they lost Kawhi, they lost Danny Green, and they lost Kyle Anderson. But yet, if you look at the stat sheet, you're like, it's like the guys really hadn't left. You know, I mean, yeah, you're still missing some great perimeter defense that we had on the wing, you know, but they've done a solid job in that regard, you know. And the real thing that throws me for a loop that's really crazy is how much better are they going to get once you have a Derek White return?
Yeah.
You know, and he gets up to speed. And possibly you have Lonnie Walker returning sometime this season, you know, and he can bring another level of this, you know, offensive powerhouse that that is the Spurs right now. I mean, what's he going to do for the for the team moving forward? So you like what you're seeing right now, and you just hope that, like you said, it's not fool's gold. It doesn't, you know, fall off as the season wears on. You want them to keep up this intensity both on the offensive end and the defensive end for the rest of the season. You don't want any lapses, because right now, Jeff, I don't think they can afford that, because the West is stacked. And if they have some games that they drop five or six games in a row, they could find themselves on the outside looking in real quick.
Or even just a two-game losing streak will knock them down from three or four all the way down to seven or eight. So, yeah, it's almost like thin ice in the West. You know, one little misstep here and you'll crack through and you'll fall through into that cold water. Hopefully the Spurs don't do that. But Joe and I are going to take our last break. When we get back, we're going to do some few more numbers and, you know, give our final thoughts on this topic. So hang on tight. Okay, we are back, and I am joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Two Shots Podcast. And Joe, Manu Ginobili was in the house versus New Orleans. My goodness. Were you happy to see that sight?
Oh, yeah, it was great. You know, the fans, of course, they took to Manu and his family being at the game, and they made sure they gave him a standing, you know, ovation. Everybody was clapping. Everybody was excited. And I thought, you know, that maybe Manu just being there, his presence actually made this team want to play even harder.
Oh, you know? Going to go with the Manu factor now, Joe?
Manu still has an important role to play with the Spurs and with the fans.
You think that probably the only reason he was there was just give his kids chicken tenders. I mean, you know, that's what they're probably missing, right? The chicken tenders. But no, yeah, it was a good sight to see in the AT&T Center. Manu made an appearance. I'm hoping it becomes more of a thing. You know, David Robinson now, you know, when he retired, you know, he's constantly at the games, but it's gotten to the point now where he's just there. Like, fans see him, like, oh, okay, it's David, you know? And I hope that same thing happens for Manu, where the nostalgia, well, obviously it would never wear off, but where he become just a common fixture at games, and just to see him there supporting the team all the time would be great. You know, maybe Timmy should go to a game or two, Joe. I really wish he would go, but Timmy's a different cat, Joe.
Yeah, he shows up once in a long while. You'll see him at a game or two.
Did I miss it or something? He does?
Yeah, he'll go to at least maybe one or two games throughout the season. He'll show up there, and they show him, but he's very private. You know, he'll probably be in a box or something, kind of out of the way. You know, he really doesn't want to be noticed out there, well, you know, Manu near the court.
Manu was just out there. He was in the scenes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the thing with Manu and him showing up to the game is he was ready to go back. You know, it's hard when you retire and you want to come back because you want to be out there playing, but I think he's come to terms with it at his own pace, and he's like, he wants to be near the game. He wants to support his teammates, his ex-teammates, you know, so it was good to see him out there. And like, I'm with you, you know, it'd be nice to see him become a common fixture. You know, people like to see him and the family, and it feels like, you know, they've been adopted by the Spurs faithful. So yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it was a really good sight to see. All right, so let's go back to the topic of the show, and that is the Spurs start. Is it fool's gold? All right, so a few numbers before we give our final thoughts. Joe, I got to say this much. At least prior to the Magic game, the Spurs have been putting up ungodly numbers. I mean, these are prime golden year Spurs numbers. They're putting up 113 points per game. They're averaging 25 assists per game, 9.8 steals, and that makes up for a plus 13.3 plus minus. They're in the plus side. They're just walloping teams. Joe, what stands out to you when I read you those numbers? What was a one stat you say, you know what, that's the key?
I think it's a plus minus, because remember we talked about it a few episodes ago, and we said, man, the Spurs were like minus two, you know, as far as the point differential. And then when they winded up getting a win the other night, I believe it was against what was it? I forgot Phoenix? The name of the team.
Phoenix?
I think it was Phoenix. Yeah, it was Phoenix when they had that blowout. That's what it was. Phoenix. It was the Phoenix Suns. When they beat them, they finally moved into the positive in the point differential. And it's continuing, which means they're playing great ball, man. Yeah. I mean, you can't ask for more. I mean, it was minus two, but like we had said, that's not something that you want to be in the negative on. You want to always be in the positive and work on that and then just keep moving forward. Don't look back. And I think this team might be doing that right now.
Right, exactly. Now, in the four-game win streak, hopefully it's five by the time you're listening to the show, but at least in the four-gamer, they're a plus 13. Now, overall, because of their recent success, they're now at an overall plus 3.1. So they're winning, but they're eking out wins, which is fine. You get the W as long as you can. But, I mean, they're a plus 3.1, which means just a lot of close games that could be attributed to the new rules and team scoring just through the roof right now. Now, defensively, they have a defensive rating of 94.2, which is stellar. And of course, you know, I read you the defensive numbers earlier in the show, so you're aware that the Spurs are cranking up the defense. Although Patty Mills and Popovich, after the win over New Orleans, still said they're not there yet. On the defensive end, they did tip their hat to Cunningham that he's made a big difference. But if this is their defense not being there yet, my goodness, I can only hope when it gets there and they are comfortable to say that, yeah, we're now playing a really good defensive you know, play on that end of the court. Joe, your final thoughts on this winning streak?
Final thoughts on the winning streak. I gotta give a shout out to my friend Chris Duell. I was yesterday we were talking and we were crunching some numbers, and he had a stat that kind of like stood out at me. Once we crunched all the numbers and we did this little equation, he's like, if the Spurs can keep this fanatic pace that they're on right now, they're actually projected to win 61.5 games. Of course, we said it's way too early in the season. Yeah, we're just being silly, crunchy numbers. But nonetheless, you know, if they can keep this pace that they have right now, yeah, that might be getting a little bit interesting, you know, because I picked them to win maybe 47 games. But if they can keep this pace, they might win, you know, might ink out 55 wins, you know, which would still be great for the team. I mean, I don't know if they're going to win 60. If they win 60 or 61, I mean, my God, Jeff, they've exceeded expectations. But they're still they're on pace to, I think, do something to surprise the fans when it's all said and done.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm right there with you. I think it's a little still too soon to really project where the Spurs are going to be. You know, things are going to happen throughout the season. You know this. Listeners, I know you're well aware of this. You know, injuries happen. You don't, yes, the Spurs got hit with injuries hard, but, you know, they will happen throughout the season. Pop is notorious for resting players. Wouldn't be surprised to see if he starts pulling back DeMar's numbers. He's averaging close to playing the entire game to start the season. He's averaging upwards 38, 39 minutes per game. That's going to have to come down soon. And yes, you're going to have, the Spurs are going to have to face the Warriors, the Raptors. Yeah, I know everybody's waiting for that game. The Celtics, the Rockets, if they get their act together, they could be.
And the Nuggets.
And the Nuggets, you know, yeah. And the Nuggets, yeah, don't sleep on the Nuggets. And they'll have to play the Blazers again. So, you know, things will even out, you know, and hopefully, you know, they'll even out more in the positive than the negative as the season goes on. But as of right now in this four-gamer, these are good numbers. You know them. I read them to you. Joe brought up a few, but I'm still saying this. Take a deep breath. It's good to see this, but we're not there yet. I'm going to be a Popovich right now. We're still, the Spurs are not there yet. Just give them time, and I think they'll shake out. You know, there's other little things, too, that need to be worked on. LaMarcus Aldridge, he's playing really well. His numbers are fantastic. But his mid-range shot's a little off right now. It's below 30%. You know, he needs to get that going again. Obviously, the injuries, they need to have Derek White back. As Joe mentioned, Lonnie Walker is going to come back, and how they're going to mesh them into the system, we got to see how that plays out. So there's still some stuff to work on. But, hey, talk about a great step to start the season. Joe and I, we're done talking. We want to hear from you now. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. Joe, is Two Shots Podcast ready for launch yet? Or are we still waiting?
Oh, no. We're ready to go. I mean, Two Shots has been out there, but the network is almost ready to go, man. Okay, we're getting geared up.
My mistake, yeah. How's the network? Yeah. What's the latest on the network?
We almost got everybody where we need them right now. So we're already, you know, starting to get together all the stuff for social media and all that and having to probably build another website for that content. So we're almost there, man. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
And again, just for the listeners, this network, what's going to be covering again? Obviously, I know San Antonio Spurs, but you're going to go beyond that, right?
Yeah, we're going to be able to encompass everything just, you know, in the world of sports from, you know, Major League Baseball to NFL football to, you know, NBA and anything else in between, you know, because everybody has this, you know, everything covered as far as your sports needs. And they all have different personalities and some of them are a little bit on the raunchy side sometimes with the rated R kind of stuff. But it'll be fun nonetheless. You know, there's something for everyone.
Yeah, you can be covering your favorite football team, the Cowboys, right? Because they just love to just pour just happiness into fans, and they don't do anything wrong, right, Joe?
No, man. Yeah. Cowboys are a hot mess, man.
All right, well, before we start bashing on the Cowboys, it becomes Lockdown Cowboys. This has been Lockdown Spurs. So for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Lockdown Spurs.